Welcome to the Google edition of the 411. My name is Chris Young, and I'll let the crew introduce themselves.
Bringing the heat, Eddie Small. How's it going?
Literally bringing the heat, Michelle Eaton.
Marcus Painter.
Diana Gill.
Are we just going to ignore Marcus's special friend?
Sort of hard to ignore.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome.
What is that on your face?
If awesome was facial hair, that's what's on my face. Let's go. Let's talk Google Summit.
Wow. All right. Well, this is the Google edition because we just got back from the Google Summit in Franklin, Indiana, put on by EdTech Team, and it is an incredible conference. So we're going to share some of our favorite takeaways from the conference and share some things we learned. And so let's do this.
I'm excited. This was my first Google Summit, and it was definitely a different kind of energy. Literally people rappelling from the ceiling at the keynote. So, but not just all flash. There was a lot of good learning. So I'm excited for this conversation.
It was my first time presenting at the Franklin EdTech Team Summit, and I was so excited just to be in the room with those people, let alone get to lead a couple sessions on video production and podcasting. It was cool. And I always love spending time with you guys. So it was extra special this weekend.
Extra, like your outfit with the sparkles and all that and the shoes on Sunday. Yeah. I want to talk about me presenting for the first time. Sounds like that was a kind of a theme. I was able to present two different times. First time was with Chris. We did Teach Like a Student, and that's kind of a series that we have been doing for the last couple of years, and we were really, really, really amped to get the opportunity to share that with the Google crowd, and we definitely made an effort to make our content even more googly. That session is just fun. We have a blast, and we hope that, I mean, if attendees have half as much fun as we do, then mission accomplished. What else? What did you guys present on?
So I also presented for the first time at the summit this year, which I was really excited / nervous about, if I'm being honest. And I love to talk about copyright. And I know that just the word copyright doesn't always necessarily grab people. So I made a concerted effort to give my session a fun theme. So I was licensed to ill, and we talked about copyright and Creative Commons and attributions and licensing the content you create. And if I were to send home one takeaway, like one thing you can change in your classroom now, I would say to use the Creative Commons to find the images that you're using for your class, whether that's what you're having your students search in or what you're using to find images for the content you create. Because that's going to really help you be sure that you're using stuff you're supposed to be using and that you are properly attributing.
And right out of the gate, Diana, you couldn't have been more excited. Rushton is on stage doing attributions with all of his images. Like, everything he showed on screen had the appropriate attribution, and he was even attributing himself. That was just right up your wheelhouse. Diana's grinning from ear to ear the entire time.
I was lucky enough to attend Diana's session on copyright, and she did a great job of making it interesting. But, you know, like, honestly, copyright is really, really important. I learned with Creative Commons how to search and attribute. And, so creativecommons.org, I believe, is the site, and you can search. And I'm always looking for CC0. CC0 means it is free and open to use. I used to do a Google search images labeled for reuse, but that's not always reliable, I learned. So Creative Commons. Thank you, Diana.
In my individual session, I did a little session on Google Slides, but I tried to take a different take on slides. I didn't really want to talk too much about slides as a presentation tool. Everybody knows that. And the more I've thought about that session and looked back on it, it really has opened up my eyes to thinking about all of the Google Apps for Education tools and the open nature of them. And I think that's what we all love about these tools, is that they have intended purposes, but there's so much that they're able to accomplish with the right effort. And I feel like that was kind of what I was shooting for with my session, was showing other things that Google Slides can do. And I just love that slides and sheets and drawings and docs even, there are so many facets that allow for innovation and freedom and creativity beyond their intended use. And so I think you see a lot of that at the summit. Lots of people finding creative and innovative ways to use these tools.
So one thing, as Marcus is talking about that I think we should point out, is I do believe the Google Summit inspired Marcus to go for Google Trainer. With his Google Slides presentation, I believe, with your Google Trainer video, I didn't know if you wanted to talk, if someone was interested in going toward Google Trainer, what did they need to do, Marcus, since you're doing that right now?
Woo! Put me on the hot seat. That the summit really did. Having the opportunity to present really kind of pushed me to take the next step with my Google training. So I was a level one, level two, and I'm in the process of the application for Trainer. Apparently, it's changed in recent times compared to what some of you innovators had to go through. I'm working on the video. I've got it all planned out. I just need to record. Application process is super easy to follow online. If you're a teacher who wants to take on a leadership role in your building with technology, specifically Google, definitely check it out. You can just Google search Google Trainer certification, and it'll be the first thing. You go in. It's super straightforward. The training stuff online is really helpful. You can also check out Casey Bell, Shake Up Learning. She's got great, great, helpful resources that you can consult with as well.
I'll also throw out Eric Kurtz as a great resource. He's got tons of really helpful checklists for any of the certifications that you're looking to get on Google, kind of like checking off all the skills you need to make sure that you have before you take those exams.
Marcus, talking about unique ways to use tools reminded me of a coworker of mine's session, Sarah Wilking, definitely worth a follow. I'll tag her in our tweets and our Facebook. But she led a session that got a lot of praise. I saw on Twitter about Google Keep, and I've learned so much from her about a tool that I thought was just like digital post-it notes, and she's helped me really get organized. Google Keep has a lot of great features, like being able to add images as organization tools, the color coding. You can have your notes available to you across all of your devices, add collaboration, insert them into Docs and Slides. She has opened my eyes to so much Google Keep. It's been one of my recent Google takeaways, and I was so glad that she was able to share some of that expertise at Summit.
Yeah, I can attest for Sarah. I was lucky enough to get to bring some teachers from my district, and I asked each of them something, their biggest takeaway, and Sarah's session was brought up, and in fact, that same teacher asked to be able to present some of the stuff he learned to the staff. You know, so that's one of the great things with the summit is, you learn stuff, and then you can take it back and share some of that knowledge back to your buildings. So, yeah, I had a great time. I got to present, like Marcus said, that Teach Like a Student with him. I also did, I didn't know you could do that, which is a session I've done quite a bit. I added a new feature. We had the party button. And the party button, the way it worked basically is that session, we go through a lot really quickly. And so if we needed a mental break, you'd hit the party button. Boom. We'd have a little dance, have a little fun. I mean, we were there on a Saturday. So that's what it's about. But we did a lot of good stuff. I guess my favorite tip or trick from that session, if you use Google Drawings, I like to get, so let's say like an image of the cell, and assign cell parts to the kids, and then have them do research on the cell parts. Then what you do, here's the tip, put in a circle, so like the nucleus, it's circle, put a circle over that image where the nucleus is, link it, and then it's going to be a color, there's like a paint bucket. Change it from whatever color it is, it's probably gonna be like a whitish blue. Change it to transparent and you've got an invisible link. And so by the end of it, you've got this completely interactive image using Google Drawings. So check that out, it is awesome.
Party button rocked. That room was high energy. It didn't need to have the party button. It was packed, people sitting on the floor. I think at some point, there's so many people crammed in there that, you know, I'm like this in a corner on the floor. And, you know, Chris and Marcus do a great job when they do present, and I really take a lot of stuff away from Chris's session, especially I didn't know you could do that. The transparent images in Google Drawings, creating things in slides with links for projects, specifically, you know, doing an iPad app inside a Google slide and linking those individual shapes to other slides in the presentation, something I'm really kind of training my staff in to make Google Slides more interactive. And Marcus obviously touches upon that in his session, you know, finding those different ways to do things. And that's why those sessions are so popular. I think it really, the energy is high, a lot of passion involved in both presenters. And that really, you know, that really hits home to a lot of people. So great job, guys. Seriously, those sessions were awesome.
I mean, Eddie, you're giving some love, but I do believe you presented as well. No?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, two presentations. One, I Flipped the Lens, which is my classroom production. I really redesigned it before we had the summit and was excited about it because of the redesign. Kind of made some of my own 8-bit images and gamified it a little bit, and thought it looked super cool, and it had some great content in it, a lot of laughs. I've got some former videos that I show that are kind of, let's say they just open some eyes on some equipment, and it's a lot of fun. So I really enjoyed that session. Obviously, the podcasting session, first time I'd ever presented that at a conference, so I was excited to see how that played. It was the last session of the day on a Sunday, and I was worried that no one would show up. And it was packed. Full room, super exciting to see people that are just interested in audio production and creating podcasts. That's always been a passion, you know, that with classroom videos. So it's great when they show up and everybody's excited, especially at 4 o'clock on a Sunday.
Eddie, your slides looked awesome. Could you share that tool that you used to create all of those 8-bit images with us?
All right, Eddie. So I did not get to go to your podcasting session. If I want to podcast, I'm going to put you on the spot. What tool would I use?
Oh, Soundtrap. Is that a trick question? You know I'm like the Soundtrap... like Soundtrap fanboy. Always. Soundtrap 100%.
Eddie, don't duck the question. What site did you use or what tool did you use to make your 8-bit magic happen in your presentation slides?
Diana, I did all of my 8-bits on a website called make8bitart.com. Super, super simple.
You know, one of the sessions that I went to that I had some huge takeaways from, and I've been using stuff literally every single day from that session since I left the Google Summit, was Michelle's session on design. Michelle, would you share a little bit more about that with us?
Guys, I'm worried. Haven't heard from Michelle. Last time we saw her, there was a fire on the deck.
I'm here, guys. Fire's going. I'm safe. I am in a group of Google innovators and Google trainers and Google certified educators, and I am just a Google fangirl. So hopefully I'm not out of my element here, but my session was on e-learning design and specifically about HyperDocs. So you can't talk about Google and digital learning without talking about HyperDocs. We've talked about it in episode one of our podcast, and I wanted to talk about the things that I kind of my world in online learning and what we know about how we learn online versus how we learn face to face. And because sometimes we do things with good intentions in our designs that make it difficult for students to comprehend the material. And so I tried to give tons of tips and tricks about ways that we can upgrade our HyperDocs to really maximize the way that students and just people in general use the internet and read online. So a couple of tips, I think, that I would suggest. I am all about color usage. And my friends know if they have me look at their presentations, it's one of the first things I say. Is your color accessible? So general rule of thumb, when you're designing digital content, you want things to be consistent. So you want the layout to be consistent. Templates are good. No more than two fonts that are very legible. And definitely no more than three colors. So pick three colors, try to make a theme. You can use less, but don't use too much color. And when it comes to text, specifically when students are doing sustained reading, it needs to be black text on white background. And that breaks people's hearts everywhere because we think that if I want to make something look good, I'm going to make it colorful, but it's really difficult to read, especially for sustained periods of time, colored text. And if you are designing something that you want to use color background and colored text, maybe you're creating a presentation or an infographic, I use a tool called WebAIM, W-E-B-A-I-M, Color Contrast Checker. And it allows me to see the contrast between two colors, and it tells me if the color choices are accessible so that all people can easily read the material. So that's a tool to check out too.
Yes. With Michelle's expertise there, I cannot not run all of my slide decks past her for help. And her, she's taught me so much. You've taught me so much about how terribly I was building presentations and HyperDocs and things like that because I'm guilty of all the things you said were no-nos. But I am learning. I'm learning from you. And Diana has kind of had the same impact on all of us in terms of copyright. I'm very cognizant of not making mistakes with photo, video, music attribution now because of that session. So, well done, folks.
So I want to share actually one last takeaway, and this was from, and actually I should give credit to Ryan Colbreth, because he's the one that shared it with us to EdTech Heroes. And the app is called Mug Life. And what it basically does, you upload a picture, so like a Bitmoji, and then there are like, you can make it, it's creepy how it works, but you need to get this app, it's free, try it, and it will like animate your face, so I can make you say yes or whatever from a picture, I can make a Bitmoji say yes or no, or do all sorts of crazy stuff. So anyways, Marcus and I, we did our Teach Like a Student, this was a new edition, a little nervous about how it would integrate, and everybody loved it, and Mug Life is permanently in Teach Like a Student now. Check it out. So with Mug Life, because that's a lot of fun, one thing about the 411, we work hard, we play hard. And so after the conference, we got into a little bit of something. So I'm going to pull up a picture here and kind of tell you about what we did. So Hobby Lobby. There is, and you can search the hashtag Hobby Lobby Challenge on Twitter, Instagram. It's blowing up. But basically, the idea, and I believe this was invented by a photographer from Indiana representing the Hoosiers. But anyways, you go to Hobby Lobby. We went to Hobby Lobby after the conference. We took my professional camera, and we basically turned it into a Tropical Oasis, where we created beautiful glamour shots. And so, without further ado, let's share our photos from the Hobby Lobby Challenge.
Oh, well, hello. Look at that handsome, handsome young man right there. But seriously, it's amazing what an expensive camera and some fake flowers will do for a guy. We had a blast. This is officially my profile picture everywhere now. So big shout out to Chris for taking a great picture and having expensive equipment.
How do you go from that face to whatever's going on right here?
Let me find the best picture. Is not the finished product. It's what it looks like to get to that point. 1 second.
Yeah, if that's your profile picture and you're online dating and you show up like you're looking now, catfish.
So this is what it looks like. There's Chris holding the flowers behind him, but the best part is that Marcus is so tall he couldn't actually stand because you'd see the baskets in the background. This is so embarrassing as people are walking by and we are being ridiculous in the floral aisle at Hobby Lobby.
So much fun.
I liked when the two ladies walked past our aisle while we were doing that, and they're like, oh my god, they're doing the Hobby Lobby challenge.
So here's another one I wanted to share. So here's Chris taking my picture. I did a quick change so that I had like a more professional looking shirt on, but you see Michelle next to me with her blazer just totally blinged out, like Marcus mentioned earlier. I did not want this vodcast to end without you seeing that blazer.
We need to see the final product.
Final product. This is my favorite of all of them. It is so amazing.
Mine's like glamour shot style, like very serious. Eddie's is by far the most hilarious of all of them.
I mean, this photo brings me so much joy to my life. I just went along to watch you guys get all dressed up in Hobby Lobby, and then and what they say when the mood strikes. I don't know why I did that.
That grin on Eddie's face, I don't know if it's like beautiful or handsome or just creepy. Say the same thing about the mustache.
No, we just say it's creepy.
Oh, well, we've seen the jacket, Michelle. Show us. We gotta see it. Glamour shots. Hobby Lobby.
This is my glamour shot. I felt like I was in a field of wildflowers. Chris, which one of yours are you going to show? Can we please show both? They are so good.
Twist his arm.
Please save the extra special one for the very end.
All right. So I'm going to start with this one because it's a little bit more tame. I believe this is my blue steel look. I also had Michelle giving me some foliage from the right-hand side there to give some extra effect. But I think the one you're talking about that really brought the heat was the next one. So if you see this person coming out of the fields, be very afraid. So I went like Pinterest, if you looked at like nailed it, like I saw this one done by somebody when I looked at the Hobby Lobby challenge. I was like, I'm gonna recreate that one. Nailed it. Yeah. It's awful.
And this is how it was made.
I can safely say the best part of the Hobby Lobby challenge is walking out after you're done and you put the camera up because you felt like you really accomplished something, sneaking it to where you didn't like get kicked out, because that was a real possibility. So anyways, I love you guys. You guys are some awesome nerds, and the Google Summit weekend was totally awesome. And thanks for doing the Hobby Lobby challenge. I think someone just needs to, there's a phrase, but I'm forgetting.
I got this one. And that's the 411.